Welcome to the online ministry of La Jolla United Methodist Church, a congregation of faithful Christians along the beautiful Southern California coast. Together we seek to grow in individual spirituality and in community with one another. All are invited to join in this vibrant faith community. More information can be found on our website at lajollaunitedmethodist.org. May you be enriched in the hearing of these words, and may you receive and enjoy God's blessing.
I really, really love Pentecost. Like, I really, really love Pentecost. I love Pentecost so much that I wore my custom red Chucks today. These are the shoes that I had custom made when I was ordained. I know I'm weird for doing that, but that's it. So if you don't see them, they're red and black. I actually have two Pentecostals. You see the beautiful decorations up here on the communion table and on the pulpit that all reflect Pentecost. We only do Pentecost one Sunday out of the year. So it seems a little weird that I had to choose between my two Pentecost stoles today. This is the stole that was gifted to me, that the bishop placed on me when I was ordained. The other one is my Van Halen stole that shows the pattern of Van Halen's Frankenstein guitar. But I chose this one. Partly, if you were here early, Zach and I came over here and we put the red up against to see which one matched better. But if you see me without long sleeves, you know I have a tattoo on my forearm that is flames, and then in a negative space there's a dove, because these are two symbols of the Holy Spirit. See, I didn't expect when I went through seminary to engage so fully with the idea of the Holy Spirit, the idea that God's Spirit is alive and working in through us, yes, now, yes, today. That the root of our faith might be found in historical texts, but is not constrained in history. The banners that I used to see outside of UCC churches about 10 years ago that say, God is still speaking. I don't believe that God spoke in this time and then stopped. I believe that God is still alive and still speaking and still calling us and still empowering us. And my understanding of how that works is the power of the Holy Spirit. I wonder if you've had those strange, unexplainable experiences. Those in history might describe those as a still, small voice. Those in more recent history, and especially in our Wesleyan history, might explain those as a strange warming in our hearts. We might talk about those as that gentle nudge that shows up in an unexpected way. It might be that sense of unexplainable comfort that shows up when we feel like we're at the end of our rope and that everything is caving in around us. It might be those moments of inspiration and we don't know where they come from. Maybe we're strengthened. Maybe we're moved to do something or any of the ways that we might be inspired that just show up in a particularly energetic way. Maybe that's our experience. Now we might look at this text and be challenged a bit about what the Holy Spirit showing up might look like. Because even as descriptive as this text is, I would suggest that even in the text it tells us that it's unexplainable. You see, the disciples were gathered in a room. I wonder if they were terrified because it really wasn't that long since some pretty incredible stuff had happened. Right? It's 50 days after Easter. Part of why we call it Pentecost, right? 50 days. It's interesting that it says that suddenly a sound from heaven like the howling of a fierce wind. It's sort of like that. I don't have better words to describe it, but it's kind of like that. Do you understand how unspecific that is? It's not necessarily exactly that wind, exactly that sound, but it's kind of like that. Later on, they see what seem to be individual flames of fire lighting on each of them. You ever had that experience where, listen, I want to describe something, but it's so extraordinary that I can't quite put words to it? So I'm going to tell you as best I can what it's like, but you just had to be there. That's how I read this text. A sound from heaven like the howling of a fierce wind that fills the whole house where they're sitting. Seeing what seems to be individual flames of fire on each of them. These unexplainable things all lead to the next sentence that says they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. So what does that look like when they're filled with the Holy Spirit? They're able to do unexpected and extraordinary things. In this case, they're able to speak languages that folks gathered around have no idea why they're hearing their own language. People from all around the country can suddenly hear a profound message the way they need to hear it. Now you might be wondering, why are all these people from all these different places around? Maybe you even skipped over the part where right here in the text it says, when Pentecost Day arrived. How did they know to call it Pentecost? You know, Pentecost is a Jewish tradition. Do you know that? It's a celebration of 50 days after Passover, and it's a celebration of the arrival of the law on Mount Sinai. Sometimes in the Jewish tradition, it's called the Festival of Weeks. So it's the Festival of Weeks in Jerusalem, so all these people are gathered around from all these different places. But then God does a new thing. God's Holy Spirit arrives on these people in this room who aren't necessarily expecting it. It's in the morning later on. Peter says that it's only 9 o'clock in the morning. I'm not even sure these folks have had their coffee yet. And all of a sudden they have this experience that wows them, that sort of blows them away, that they can't quite put words to. And the people around them notice. The people around them notice, and some of them are just sort of blown away. Oh my goodness, what's going on with these people? And then, of course, there's the naysayers, there's the criticizers. All y'all are drunk. That's the critique. They're filled with new wine. I like Peter's argument. We're not drunk. It's only 9 o'clock in the morning. Which implies maybe we'll be drunk later. Peter says there's something else happening here. Something inspiring and moving. Something that has changed us. Something that has gifted us with the ability to come to you where you are. Because the gift that has been poured out on us is not only for us, but it's for you who are from faraway places. It's for you who might think a little bit differently. It's for you who might live your life a little bit differently. It's for you who might feel like you're outcast and set aside. It's for you if you think you're not worthy. It's for you if you think you're unlovable. Pastor Leah said it well in the prayer. God's Spirit is poured out for all flesh. So that, as John the Baptist said, all flesh shall see the salvation of God. I also like the illustration that God's Spirit is poured out. Not sprinkled, not spritzed, poured out to excess. runneth over. I was doing some research this week, and one preacher described it like a hose. But not just like a hose like when you put your thumb over it. And it overwhelms with the amount that comes at you. I thought about kids in particularly urban areas where somebody knocks the cover off the fire hydrant and the water comes jetting out. And the way kids are so exuberant and excited about this flood of water, of coolness, of grace. Here's my question. What do we have to learn from those children who are playing around a fire hydrant? When that water jets out and they are excited and jumping and laughing and playing, what do we, as people who have God's grace poured out upon us, jetted out on us like a fire hydrant or like a thumb over a hose, how can we learn from the voices of the youngest? I've been to churches. I've been to churches that say, shh, children should be seen and not heard. I know that's not this church. I've been to churches where if there's a peep at all during any part of the service, you get this stern look from that person who's either sitting in the front row or the back row. Right? Because we all have our assigned seats, of course. I've been a parent whose child whispers and who gets the glare. A quick side note about that. A friend of mine used to be the pastor at a church in Torrance, California. You know, I'm a technical guy. I pay attention to websites. The web address we go to their church, noisychildrenwelcome.com. But what can we learn from those noisy children? What can we learn about the freedom to be ourselves as we are in an experience of worship? One of the most amazing worship services I ever went to. I was living in Nebraska. We took a group of children and youth on a mission trip into Denver. We went to an African Methodist Episcopal church. Oh, that's a worship service. It was 3 hours long and nobody noticed. The sermon was well over an hour, and I've never seen teenagers sit so riveted for more than an hour. The music was moving and inspiring. It was one of those things, the music was playing. You can't sit still. Do you know those kinds of things? And this happened to be, just amazing gospel music. And maybe that's the kind of music that gets you moving. But maybe you remember the story of the king when Handel's Messiah was first performed. A king who couldn't help but stand. That kind of music that makes you unable to contain yourself. That kind of experience that makes you unable to hold it in. My friends, I believe that when God's Holy Spirit pours out on us, like out of a fire hydrant or a hose with a thumb over it, we can be filled in that way that we just can't hold it in. So my question for you is this: why do we hold it in? Why do we hold it in? I've asked you this question before. If we feel comfortable answering questions about our faith, it's hard to go stand on the street corner and just proclaim our faith, right? But if we feel comfortable answering questions about our faith, are we living a life that is so questionable that people ask us about it? Are we living as though the Holy Spirit matters, God matters, Jesus matters? Or are we just doing the same things by rote? Because they're comfortable. I'm not saying those who are afflicted should not be comforted. But as my sister would say, those who are comforted, those who are comfortable must be afflicted. That's the way she learned it in her church. God comforts the afflicted and afflicts the comforted. inspires us to do a new thing. My friends, this is Pentecost Sunday. It's a time that we might remember that God's Holy Spirit is poured out on us. Are we receiving it and being strengthened by it? In such a way that there aren't words to describe it. In such a way that the people around wonder what ridiculousness we're up to now. In such a way that we speak the language that people need to hear. My friends, the audience is growing. The audience of those who might need to hear about the gospel message in their language is growing. Recent data shows a decreasing number of people who are connected with the faith community. And an increasing number of people who claim to be spiritual but not religious. People who desire a connection with the divine, a connection with something bigger than us all. My friends, the audience to whom we might speak is growing. How will we step boldly into a new thing that God is doing, empowered by God's Holy Spirit, and speaking the language of those who yearn for spirituality and connection? We can look at statistics about the decline in church membership and feel awfully depressed. I confess, my friends, I'm an optimist. The audience is growing. The author Diana Butler Bass writes in a book called, I can't remember the name of the book. It's Diana Butler Bass, and she talks about a new great awakening. I think we're on the cusp. I think we're on a potential beginning for something new. If we are willing to speak that language. Are we willing? We receive the pouring out of God's Holy Spirit and be transformed and changed and do a new thing. I don't think we can do it on our own. But I think together, with the power of God's Holy Spirit, yes, we can.
That I often don't recognize the action of the Holy Spirit in the moment. It sometimes takes me looking back, to see where God was at work in my life.
Is it the action of the Holy Spirit in the moment?
But there are ways that you can exercise practice getting in tune with the Holy Spirit. If this is something that you experience too, you're not alone. There are ways to practice. And one way that has worked for me is to reflect on the day or the week where I have seen God in that time period. And I learned this method called wow theology. So at the end of the day, you name a wow moment. A moment where you were surprised or you noticed God at work. Where you were caught off guard, And you reflect on where God was in motion, where the Spirit was moving in that moment. Reflect on if you noticed it at the time, or whether you were caught off guard, or whether you missed it. Reflect on how that moment could impact your life, our culture, our ministries here or abroad. I would challenge you as a response to this challenge of noticing God's Spirit in action to, at the end of every day this week, name a moment where you saw God at work that day. If you take this on and you notice,